Good afternoon and welcome to AXA's full year 2024 results presentation. The results will be presented today by our Group CEO, Thomas Buberl, Group Deputy CEO, Frédéric de Courtois, and Group CFO, Alban de Mailly Nesle. For the Q&A session, we will also have Scott Gunter, CEO of AXA XL, Guillaume Borie, CEO of AXA France, and Patrick Cohen, CEO of AXA Europe. With this, I turn it to Thomas for the results.
Thank you, Anu, and good afternoon to all of you. Very happy to see you in London here and to present to you, as my colleagues, a good first year of our three-year plan, Unlock the Future. When you look at the key highlights, you see that the business is in very good shape. We have achieved an 8% growth on revenue across all lines of business, across all geographies, and this has also translated into an 8% underlying earnings per share growth, which is, as you know, at the top end of our range of this plan. Very importantly, the solvency is 216%, so a very solid balance sheet, a strong capital position, which has led the board to decide that the delivery for shareholders, based on these results, is very positive. The dividend per share will increase by 9%, which also is a clear indication of the confidence we have in the business and also being able to deliver for the rest remaining 2 years, and an annual share buyback, a new program of 1.2 billion, which represents a 75% payout ratio. So you see that the excellent operational performance is underpinned by an attractive return to shareholders. If we go a little bit deeper, we see that AXA today is simple, is balanced, and is focused on insurance. Today, we are only an insurer, and it's good that we are only an insurer because that's the business we know best. That's the business we focus on. We are simple in a way that we are serving enterprises from the small SME to the large global commercial, and we are, on the retail side, top three multi-line insurers in Europe, and we have leading positions in protection and health in Japan and Hong Kong. Balanced because most of it is 50-50, and certainly when you think about diversification and the different dynamics of these businesses over time, it's important to be balanced and to have within this balance very high-quality businesses with leading positions because that gives you attractive and scaled businesses and then certainly also predictable earnings growth, which we have shown over the last years. If we look at the top line development, the last years were always a little bit blurred because we had many disposals, we had business right-sizings, but the underlying dynamic was always 6% organic growth. From 2023 to 2024, we were not, and the numbers were not disturbed by any disposals and large right-sizing, and you have seen the organic growth power that is amounting to 8%. This 8% is very consistent across all the lines of business, +7% in P&C, +9% in life, +8% in health, and is also very consistent across all the geographies. So the attractive positioning we have in growing markets helps us to develop these and to generate these numbers. This is very much based on a high customer satisfaction. When you look at our NPS numbers, you see that they have steadily grown over time and have reached very high standards, and what we are very proud about as well, a very high customer retention in almost every market. We are also very happy to see that the investment in growth initiatives that we have been mainly focusing on 2024 start to pay off, and we'll hear later on from Frédéric more detail around it, be it in mid-market, be it in employee benefits, but also be it in expanding our distribution footprint. So what you look, what you see here is the very disciplined execution of the plan that we have presented to you about a year ago. As I said, this top line growth also translates into very strong bottom line growth, the underlying earnings per share being plus 8%. And so when you look at the timeline, there is again, you see that AXA has been delivering consistently earnings year after year in very different environments that have over time become more and more volatile. And if you go even further back to 2016, when I started as a CEO, the increase in profit and underlying earnings is north of 40%. So what is nice to see is that top line is translating into bottom line, that we have consistent earnings. And if you look at these numbers, 110 billion revenue and 8.1 billion of profits, these are numbers that we have never seen in the history of AXA. What is it due to? As I said, it's due to the very disciplined execution that we have on clear strategic priority. It's our focus on excellent technical profitability. And as you know, the year 2024 was very focused around getting the German operation, the German retail business, and getting the UK retail business and health business right. And you have seen that we have delivered on it. And certainly the investment in technology and AI, as I said earlier, has shown its first effects, has also been a drag on our earnings in 2024, which will not repeat in the remainder of the plan, but will enable us to continue this dynamic going forward. So we've built a business over the last years that is now in good shape, that is global, that is performing well, that is giving steady and consistent returns, and that is a reliable profit generator for the future. When I talk about the future, we need to also look what are the catalysts for near-term growth in the next 2 years, but also beyond that. And on the commercial insurance, you clearly see that mid-market is an area where we see significant growth. We've already delivered good growth numbers in the high single digit. The energy transition is still a growth factor for us. But also when you think about companies, they want to do more for the well-being of their employees. They want to care more about their employees in terms of talent retention. There is an area to capture growth with our digital capabilities and the global pricing assets that we have. On the retail side, and it's important as well, because of our balanced model, to have a strong and large retail presence, we can certainly do more and want to benefit more from a new pension and savings area where people think more about retirement. If you look, for example, in France, the public debate is very much, again, around retirements, and so revamping our product offerings, making sure that we are becoming even more present in this area, and this has already started last year, in particular in France and Italy. We want to benefit from this. And certainly when you think about the retail P&C environment, we are now at a level where we have done all the necessary work to be at the technical level that is necessary, and now we need to use our large franchise to also gain more market share across all the countries. We have achieved that already in those countries where we didn't have this significant restructuring to be done, so the UK and Germany. But if you look at the net new customers or net new contracts across all the other markets, you see that we have been very successful already. So we are very confident that we will sustain this momentum also for the years going forward. What does it mean in terms of shareholder return? We are, the board of directors is proposing to the shareholders a dividend of €2.15, which is an increase of 9%. And when you look at the total yield, it's about 7% dividend and share buyback, based on a very clear capital management policy. And what does that mean if you again look over the last 4 years? AXA will have returned 40% of its market cap to the shareholders. 75% is paid out to shareholders. What happens to the other 25%? The other 25% is invested in our business at attractive returns. And when you look at the book value and the compounding book value per share over time, you see that it's very attractive as well. So our strategy will continue exactly what you have seen in 2024, continue to generate sustainable and predictable earnings while making sure that this value is also being created for our shareholders. And when you look at where we are along the key KPIs of our plan, we see that we have had a strong start of our plan on the underlying earnings per share area at the top of the range, on the return of equity in the middle of our range, and certainly when you look at the cash, bang on, if you look at the three-year plan. So we have high confidence that over the next 2 years, we will also deliver the plan. We need to remain focused on our execution, which we have proven in 2024, and which we are dedicated to do with my whole team. And that's why I will now hand over to Frédéric, who will go more into details and show us what 2024 looked like, but also what the outlook will look like. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Good afternoon. First, a few words on the context. It is clear that we are operating in a changing context, but we believe the context is positive. If I look on the left part of the slide, first, we have political uncertainty in the U.S. and in Europe. We haven't seen any impact on our business, and we believe it will remain so. Second element, inflation in Europe is receding, and this is good news for insurance companies. Third, you know that we have diverging interest rates, U.S., Europe, and Japan. We are exposed to these three areas, but overall, interest rates remain at a good level, which is good for the insurance industry. On Nat Cat, you've seen that our exposure to Nat Cat has decreased in 2024. This is a mix of good underwriting, of geographical mix, but we remain cautious. We believe that Cat will keep increasing, the severity and the frequency will keep increasing, so we will manage this in a very disciplined manner. Last element I wanted to highlight on AI, we are absolutely convinced that AI will have deep positive consequences for the insurance industry, be it on technical excellence, be it on productivity, be it on the customer experience. So we are convinced that it will have very positive impact, and this is all a matter of execution. On the right part, on the business performance, so we've delivered in line with our plan on all dimensions. First, on commercial lines, so we've seen good growth in P&C commercial lines with margins at an attractive levels. On retail, we've been delivering on margin recovery in the U.K., in Germany motor, and we've been growing where we wanted to grow, so in other key markets. On the short-term life business, on short-term protection and health, we are seeing higher profitability and good growth coming especially from the recovery of the U.K. health business, but not only. And we see improving net flows in savings. Last but not least, we continue to be extremely focused on cash with an 82% remittance ratio in 2024, which is in line with our targets. So what is the overall message? First message is we are done with the fixing. All our business units are on track and in good shape. Second message, this is, we believe, a strong start, and it reflects disciplined execution. Let's look at the commercial line business. So you know that we have a leading franchise on commercial lines with 35 billion premiums, with a good balance between SME and mid-market, mainly in Europe, and big corporates at AXA XL. Margins are in a strong place with a 91% combined ratio, and we see good opportunity to grow. We see good opportunity to grow, and I will highlight especially three areas. Overall, in our commercial line business, retention is increasing. And you see the figures here at AXA XL, which are very good. And this is especially important for commercial line business to keep your profitable clients. Second opportunity area for us, which is the mid-market area. You know that we have a specific initiative on the mid-market. We have a specific initiative to grow in areas where we are not strong. And be it in the U.S., be it in Italy, be it in the U.K. and Ireland, we are really happy with the results, both on the top line and on the bottom line. Third area, we believe that there is a good economic momentum in the U.S., and we are investing there to grow more on big commercial lines, on mid-market, and on E&S. But at the end, our focus is on sustaining our good profitability and our good margins. And as you see on the right side, this is all about cycle management. This is all about the mix, and the cycle is different according to the business lines. So we are keen to grow in some business lines where the profitability is good. We are less keen to grow in some other areas. This is what we call portfolio management, and we think we are doing it well, and we do not hesitate to decrease our business where we don't like the profitability level. Last but not least, as you know, the cost of reinsurance is moderating, and it is supporting margins for commercial line business. So what is next on this P&C commercial line business? We expect to see good top-line growth in 2025 and some improvements in margins in 2025, which will drive earnings growth. If I look at retail now, so we have a good franchise on retail, especially in Europe, with 19 billion premiums. You know that some of our peers are including SMEs in the retail line, which we don't. So if we included SMEs in the retail lines, it would be a 30 billion business. So we could do both. We've decided not to include it, but this is important for you to know. So this business benefits from, first, a good customer satisfaction, and we are very proud of this, and you see here the figures. It also benefits from a strong proprietary distribution. We had said last year, when we communicated our plan, that we would grow our physical distribution channels. This is what we are doing, especially in all Europe and in France. And we also have a very good direct franchise in some markets in Europe and in Asia, which is doing well. We are also happy about our execution in 2024. I've said it already, we have delivered on the turnaround in the U.K. retail and Germany motor, and this is good. This has led to a 2-point improvement of our retail technical margins. This turnaround has been based, of course, on underwriting, on pricing, on claims initiatives. But overall, I would say that we have been more courageous than the market. We've increased our prices more. We've been tougher on the underwriting, and this is good because we are now in a good position. Second area on which I would like to insist on the good execution, which is that we've grown in some markets, which we like, and we have not grown in some other markets where we believe that margins were not adequate. Overall, the balance has been zero. So if you look at our retail portfolio, overall the balance has been zero, but you see that we had good growth in France, in international markets, in Italy and Switzerland, and we've accepted to decrease our portfolio in Germany and in the U.K., but also in Ireland and in Spain, because the prices were not adequate. You will see positive growth of the portfolio in 2025. So what is next on the retail business? First, we believe that margins will continue to improve in 2025 because pricing will be earned through and inflation is moderating. So in this context, we are focused on growing our portfolio and growing our volumes. Let's move to our life and health business. So first, this is important to understand that our life and health business is made of two different parts. The first part is what we call the short-term business. So this is pure protection business, P&C-like, annual repricing, managed like a P&C business with a combined ratio. And here we had a good growth last year. We had a 10% growth of this business with a good profitability. This is overall a 16 billion premium business, and it includes our very good and very profitable employee benefit franchise. We had told you, I think, last year that the EB business was growing fast in a post-COVID environment, and this is again confirmed. Our EB business has grown by 12% last year, and we are very happy about this. This EB business is really a priority for us. We have a good franchise. We have a very good platform that we have rolled out now in 14 countries, and we continue also to invest in the individual protection business, especially for professionals and self-employed. In health, I would like to highlight the good job done in the U.K., the good turnaround done in the U.K., which was well executed with a 7.5 improvement of our combined ratio. You haven't seen everything yet. In other words, you will continue to see improvements in 2025. And all of this has helped to deliver half of the 3 points margin improvement that we had announced for our plan, and this is good. So going forward, what do we expect? We expect that our margins will continue to grow in the U.K., as I've just said. We will recapture the LAIA premium for the first time in Ireland in 2025, and the LAIA premium in 2025 will be around 1 billion euro. And you will see overall further margin expansion as we systematically leverage our global capabilities on healthcare pathways, dataset, and pricing model. So in a nutshell, what is next on this business? First, we have a good potential to grow the top line, and we believe that we have also the capacity to grow the margins on this business, and the growth of the margins of this business will drive the earnings growth of our life and health business. Last business I would like to mention, which is our long-term life and health business. So our long-term life and health business is mainly a savings business, but this is also the health business in Japan and in Germany. We have a total of 36 billion premiums. So this is a CSM-driven business. So this is why we manage this business, the short term and the long term, in a different way. So the short term is P&C-like. This one is again, a long-term business driven by the CSM. And I think this is important here to look back at the history. The history for us on this business is that we've been extremely disciplined over the past years in a very low interest rate environment, and absolutely no regret on this. We believe we've done well. Now, the objective is to regain momentum, to regain sales momentum, knowing that in contrast to the short-term business, here you regain sales momentum, but it takes some time to see it in the bottom line. But again, now that the context has changed, of course, we remain disciplined, but the priority is to regain momentum. In addition, you know, if I look again at the history, that we had outflows over the past 2 years linked to high short-term interest rates, the strong competition from short-term banking products. This negative effect is now disappearing, and you will see that it will gradually disappear. So, to be more specific, where do we see the momentum? We start to see the momentum on premiums, and you see that, be it on unit-linked or on capital-light general account business, we have a good sales momentum, especially in our proprietary distribution network. The good news is that we are also seeing a strong improvement of surrenders, as I've seen. So we had strong surrenders in 23. We again had significant surrenders in 24, but you've seen that over the quarters, all of this has gradually improved towards a much better situation. Having said that, we are clear that we can do better on this business. Again, we have to regain momentum. For a few years, the priority was to be disciplined on the mix, to be disciplined on what we sell, to be disciplined on the volume. Now that the context has changed, we can do better, and we know what we have to do. We believe that we have a strong competitive advantage, especially against asset management companies. We can offer lifelong whole life annuities, which is good in the moment in which pensions are growing. We can offer protection riders. We can offer guarantees when it makes sense. So we believe that we have a good competitive advantage. And we believe also that the partnership with BNP Paribas on asset management will bring some benefits to us. We had some underperforming asset classes at AXA, and we believe that with this new partnership, it will boost our life business. So, in a nutshell, what is next on this business? From now on, we will invest and focus more on this long-term business, and especially on pension. I had said it already when we communicated our plan. To put things in perspective, a 1% increase in life and health earnings requires a 0.3-point improvement in the short-term combined ratio or a 1.5 points of change in long-term CSM release growth, so which gives order of magnitudes. So on this life business, we are very confident with the business. We are very confident with the potential, and we are very confident that we can do better than what we are doing now. It's all a question of focus. One sentence to conclude on this first year: we are fully on track with the execution of our plan. Thank you.
So, good afternoon to all. Let's go now to the details of our earnings for 2024. Yes. And I'll start with P&C, which is our largest line. What's remarkable about P&C in 2024 is that we had both very good top-line growth and margin improvement, and we had also a good balance between volumes and price. So if I start with commercial lines, so it was another good year for AXA XL, which benefited from good volumes, either from new business in lines where pricing was dynamic, and better retention in the other lines where the pricing was more stable. And you saw in Frédéric's slide how retention improved at AXA XL. On the price side, you know that overall it's not one cycle at AXA XL, but different lines. When you look at casualty, prices were still up quite significantly, 4% in Europe, 10% in the US. When you look at property, still it was also more than sufficient, with plus 4% in Europe and 7% in the US. But as we said also last year, on the financial lines and notably in the US, the market remained soft. But overall, prices were up 2% for the whole year for AXA XL. In SME and mid-market, we saw absolutely no sign of a cycle. Pricing conditions remained favorable overall, and demand remained strong. AXA XL Re, plus 10%, half from pricing, half from volumes. And finally, in retail lines, so it was up 7%. When you look at it this way, pricing was plus 10% and volumes was minus 3%, but it's obviously due to the very strong repricing and turnaround that we executed in Germany and in the UK. You know that in the UK we increased prices in retail by more than 30% and close to 15% in Germany. If you adjust for those two countries, we were at plus 6% in the other countries, half from volume and half from prices. And we grew, as Frédéric showed, in those countries where margins were good. So very good mix and very good top-line growth in P&C. As I said, that we were also able to improve our margins. And I think what matters most is the undiscounted loss ratio, excluding NatCat, that improved by 1.1 point. That came, obviously, from the retail lines, and again, Germany and the UK, but not only Germany and UK, because we also saw improvements in retail in the other countries. And we also saw margin improvement in commercial lines, XXL. If you remember, 1 year ago when we were here presenting our plan, we told you that we saw potential for margin expansion in commercial lines XXL, and that's what we saw. And margins remained stable at XL in 24. So we managed to improve our margins with the the attritional loss ratio. On NatCat, we had a good year. We had a cat load of 3.8 points below our annual cat load or budget of 4.5 points, partly because of the exposure management, partly probably also because some NatCats were not in the geographies we were in, so we cannot always take credit for everything, and we remain cautious for our NatCat load for 25, and we keep our 4.5 points budget for 25. Expense ratio was slightly up, 30 bips. That's exclusively due to acquisition costs, commission, and that's the business mix point. And finally, on PYDs, it slightly increased. That's simply a proof of prudent reserving. I don't think there is much more to say about it. But as Frédéric pointed out, we had planned for a 2 points improvement in our margins in P&C in the, over the plan period. We delivered more than half in the first year of that plan, and we see room for further improvement with the pricing dynamic that we see this year. So how does that translate into earnings? So you see the very significant amount of additional margins in euros, close to 1.5 billion, coming from higher volumes and the better margins. On the financial result, you remember that last year we told you that we would have a significant increase in the unwind effect, 550 million, and that's exactly what we have here. I think what is good to notice is that we could offset most of it thanks to higher investment income. So we are very pleased with our performance on the investment income. And I just want to spend also a minute on our taxes. In 2023, we had a positive one-off in P&C in taxes, notably because Bermuda introduced new taxes, and that allowed us to recognize a DTA in 23 in Bermuda at XL. Conversely, in 24, we have the first year of the OECD tax Pillar 2, and that's a negative. So between the two, it's a shift of 200 million of profits, in less profits. And so we had the unwind, we had the taxes. Nevertheless, despite all this, we managed to increase underlying earnings in P&C by 10%, and that's a clean base to grow from now on. Life and health. So on volumes, as Frédéric and Thomas pointed out, we have very good growth in volumes, 9%. So that's 3% in protection coming mainly from Japan, as often, and from Switzerland. It's unit-linked plus 18%. That's driven very much by Italy, where unit-linked growth was above 40%, but also France, where through new products, new campaigns, unit-linked volumes growth was 12%. So we see good momentum here. And same on capital-light general account, 15%, again driven by Japan with a single premium whole life product, which, by the way, we will probably sell a bit less of it in 2025. We need to be a bit cautious, but nevertheless, a good year in volumes for life. Same on the health side. We had a growth of 5% on the individual part. That's mostly pricing, and 10% on the group part, and that's a mix, probably one-third, two-third, of pricing, volume, sorry, and pricing. Net flows, as Frédéric said, that matters a lot to us. Now that we have cleaned our in-force and that we want to grow our savings business, it's important to have positive inflows. That's what we have, 1.5 billion. If you exclude health and just focus on savings, it's not yet positive, but we are confident that it should become positive in 2025, and that will help us grow our CSM. One word on the unit-linked, 0.8 billion negative is obviously not something that we want from a business which is capital-light. One thing to keep in mind in our French business is that we have an automatic rebalancing in what we call gestion pilotée for our customers. When markets reach a certain level, we automatically move part of their savings, of the client savings, from unit-linked to general account to secure some of their capital gains. That was exactly 800 million in 2024. PVEP and new business. So on PVEP, really the story is the same as for premiums. We'll just comment on the new business margin, which is down slightly from 5 to 4.4%. That's really a matter of business mix or geographic mix. We sold less of a high margin health product in Japan, and we sold more of a lower margin but still profitable protection product in France. At the end of the day, what matters to us is the fact that we grow our NBV, and that's what you see. We grow our NBV by 2% in 24. CSM. So you remember that we did two in-force transactions last year, one in France, the other one with AXA Life Europe. That had an impact of minus 600 million on the stock of the CSM. Our normalized CSM growth is 2%, which is a bit below our expectations. Economic variance was negative by 1 billion. That's entirely due to the widening of government bond spreads. And you will see the same in our solvency numbers. But as you know, there is a pull to par on this. And as we get closer to maturity, we will recoup that amount. And operating variance was positive, 400 million. So as you know, we don't put it in our normalized CSM growth, but nevertheless, it's future better margins because of better mortality, better lapses or whatever, that will be a positive for our CSM going forward and our CSM release. Earnings. So we like to think about our life and health earnings in three parts. The first one is the short-term part, which is PNC-like. And you saw that we increased revenue very significantly, 10%, but we also massively increased profitability by 149%. It's obviously due to the turnaround that we operated in the UK on the health business, but not only. It's also a good performance in France in protection, and it's a good performance in health in other countries than the UK. Thanks to that, we have already delivered half of the combined ratio improvement that we wanted to have in life and health over the plan period. CSM release, minus 1%, but plus 2% if you exclude the two in-force transactions that I mentioned. And last, net financial result on non-participating business, plus 10%. Same story as in PNC. We had good investment income in life that more than offset the increase in the unwind. So it's a good set of results in life and health, but very importantly, we see the potential for more growth in earnings from that basis. Trying to move to the next slide. Yes. Here, it's just the summary of what I've just said. Just want to highlight the fact that health earnings grew by 24% for the reasons I said. Life earnings were stable, or plus 2% if you exclude the impact of the in-force transactions. You remember that, obviously, that loss of earnings was compensated through buybacks done last year. Asset management, so the closing of the AXA IM transaction should take place at the end of Q2 or beginning of Q3. Until then, we keep on consolidating AXA IM's earnings. So AUM are up 4%. That's a mix of good market conditions and net inflows, 3 billion, coming from third parties. We had good management of our expenses at AXA IM. Stable management fees, slightly up, which allowed us to have underlying earnings grow by 11%. So in this table, you have the summary, PNC Life and Health Asset Management. I haven't commented on holding costs, including debt expenses, obviously, yet. So it increases by 150 million. Again, that's in line with what we told you last year for our plan. That's due to investments in technology and investment for growth. Very importantly, this will remain flat for the other years of the plans of the plan, i.e. 25 and 26. So underlying earnings grew by 7%. If you add to that the benefit of the share buyback and the you deduct the fact that Forex was a negative, our underlying earnings per share grew by 8%. One word on net income, it grew by 11%. Compared to underlying earnings, it's always the same difference. We had capital gains on real estate, but we also had the traditional amortization of intangible assets, and that explains the difference between underlying earnings and net income. I come back to taxes. There were, as I said, a number of one-offs in the past, and a significant variation in the in our taxes in 24. The effective tax rate that you can take into account going forward, excluding any one-off, is 24%. That's what you should have in mind, which is the consequence of the changes, notably of the Pillar 2 tax. If I move to shareholders' equity, 50 billion. The when we look at true shareholders' equity, i.e. excluding undated subordinated debt and excluding OCI, it's 53 billion, up 6%. And that reflects, as was said before by Thomas, the fact that we want to distribute 75% of our earnings, but we want to keep 25% and grow our book value. ROE was 15.2%, in line with our target range of 14 to 16%. And debt gearing was 20.6%, slightly above 2023 number, not because we increased debt, it remained flat, simply because the OCI, which is a negative amount, increased by 1.5 billion, so it's a denominator effect, not a numerator one. That's why our debt gearing increased slightly. So 7% underlying earnings growth, 8% underlying earnings per share growth, 9% dividend per share growth, to which we will add 1.2 billion of annual share buyback, and that brings us to the 75% overall payout that you are now used to. We will do a 3.8 billion share buyback to offset the loss of earnings of AXA IM. We will start that share buyback as soon as practicable after the closing of the transaction, given the amount at stake. Part of it will be done in 25, part of it most probably will be done in 26, which means that the full compensation of the loss of AXA IM earnings will be achieved at the end of 26. A word on cash. The cash remitted by our subsidiaries was 7.7 billion, so an excellent year. That 7.1 billion organic remittance, or ordinary remittance, which means an 82% remittance ratio. And in addition to that, we got 600 million, which was the materialization of the in-force transactions and the release of capital that we did in France and in Ireland. And you know that last year, we paid 4.4 billion of dividend, and we did 1.8 billion of share buybacks, 1.1 annual share buyback, and 700 million, again, to offset those enforced transactions. Holding cost, interest expense, I already commented on, and I insist on the fact that they will remain flat. Last word on solvency. We generated 28 points of solvency, so within our range of 25 to 30 points, and that is despite the fact that we grew all our lines of business between 7 and 8%. So we managed to do that by being very strict on the management of our required capital. We give 22 points back to our shareholders, and that is the dividend and the share buyback to be done. That excludes, obviously, at this stage, the share buyback that we'll do for AXA IM. We have economic variance that cost us 13 points. That's what I mentioned earlier on the widening of government bond spread. And finally, 3 points less of solvency due to the fact that we substituted senior debt to the subordinated debt that we redeemed or repaid in 2024. And going forward, that's something that we can do. I mean, we will use all sorts of debt to replace the subordinated debt, which will lose its solvency status by the end of 2026. So overall, solid growth everywhere, growing earnings in line with our plan, with our expectations. You remember that we said we would grow P&C earnings and life and health earnings between 4% and 6%. So life, we are exactly in line. P&C, we did better than that in 2024. And still a very strong level of solvency. Thomas, I'll let you conclude.
Thank you, Alban. To conclude, 5 key messages. Number 1, AXA, as you've seen, is a balanced global franchise with a very solid balance sheet. Number 2, we have shown in the first year high execution discipline of a couple key priorities. Third topic, the high growth that we have shown has translated into predictable earnings growth. Fourth one, this has resulted in an attractive shareholder return with, as you've seen, plus 9% dividend per share and a new program of share buybacks of 1.2 billion. And lastly, we are confident to deliver our plan, Unlock the Future, for the remaining 2 years with focus on the one hand, further improving our technical profitability and on the other hand, increasing our dynamic on the life and savings business. Thank you for your attention, and we'll now go to your questions. And we'll be joined by Scott, Guillaume, and Patrick.